who's watching online, thank you so much. You caught us in a powerful moment with Holy Spirit. I have no words to describe his presence. We are honored that he always, always demonstrates his glory. He always demonstrates his glory in tangible ways that can be felt physically as well as in our spirit, man. It's one thing to go somewhere and you feel something in your spirit, but it's another thing for the entirety of who you are to be enveloped in the glory of God. Your flesh, your spirit, your soul. You know how some of the experienced saints will say down in their soul. But it's just because we're a whole being. And God has designed our whole being to experience his whole being. Glory to God. So today I'm going to talk to you about honor, but mainly from the point of an endurance moment. And I'm going to tell you, I've been praying and talking to God, and God was like, yeah, you're going to finish, you know, what you started teaching 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. And I'm studying it. And then at 6 this morning, I started hearing something different. I was like, okay, Jesus, somebody pulling on something. So I start sensing a shift briefly. And so we're going to talk about honor because honor is the culture of the supernatural. You cannot experience the supernatural of God without a culture of honor. And it is honoring people, honoring God, honoring his presence, and honoring the place that God chooses for his presence to dwell. He told David that the earth could not contain his glory, nor buildings can't contain him, but he does fill them. And so he chooses places in the natural to fill with his glory, even though it cannot be contained by his glory. And so we have to honor the place that he chooses to be the place where his glory will spill from or be distributed from. You guys follow me? But let me pray. Let me. Father, I just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, we honor you for just for your presence that we're experiencing right now. We know, God, that without you, we cannot do anything. But through you, we can do all things. We thank you that you have chosen us before the worlds were framed, God, to be alive during this time in history. You've given us gifts, talents, abilities. You chose our parents, and you brought us to this point to be alive in the earth, to be in the places you have sent us and the places we live, all to demonstrate your glory. And so we say thank you because you're good and kind and merciful and loving. We say thank you because you're the great and awesome King. We say thank you. Because you're the only wise God, and to you be majesty, dominion, and power. God, you created all things, and all things are sustained by your word, and we just say thank you. Because the awesomeness of your presence cannot even be contained in creation. You have no beginning and have no ending. You are God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, and you honor us by having relationship with you. And so we thank you. God, and I thank you that what you have revealed to me to share, God, that it will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. And we covenant in advance to give Jesus all the glory and honor because we expect signs, wonders, and miracles to occur, to follow us because we believe, to be worked through us because we're in partnership with you, and divine intervention to be worked for us because we're in covenant. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Just give God a clap, a shout, or something. Make a little noise. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. So, in an endurance moment, it's essential that we stay in a place of faith. But the key to staying in a place of faith is to stay in a place of honor. When Job was dealing with what he was dealing with, the thing that Satan wanted was saying to God was that if you take away his possessions, take away his family, if you do this, if you do that, he'll curse you. Meaning that Job will move from the position of honoring God based upon external things. Sometimes in our lives, we get tested because the scripture says every word is tested. So we get a prophetic word, we get revelation from God, we get excited like the Bible talks about the different hearers. And then when tribulation and trial come because of that word, to test that word, we have to be sure to stay in a place of honor. Because those who don't, it says that word becomes unfruitful. It gets choked. And so that's the plan of the enemy, to try to overwhelm you with stuff to get you out of the place of honor. In James chapter 1, can you put that up for me, Pastor Deborah? James chapter 1, verse 1, in the New American Standard. James chapter 1, verse 1, in the New American Standard. Glory to God. Halabakoshita. It says this, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Now, they were dispersed abroad because of persecution. It says, greetings. Let's go to verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why would we consider it joyful when we're dealing with foolishness and various trials? How do we consider it joyful? Because we stay in the posture of honor. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The King James says patience. So when your faith is tested, endurance is produced. Now let me read to you what an endurance moment is, what I said last week. An endurance moment is a moment in time when we will have to exercise patience, and when we overcome opposition through endurance to produce something greater, allowing God to get the greater glory out of the situation in our lives. An endurance moment is a moment in time when we will have to exercise patience. Say patience. We overcome opposition through endurance. Sometimes it's not through the decree. Sometimes it's through the endurance. Through the continuing of doing what God told you to do. The way he told you to do it. With the heart posture he told you to do it. Because sometimes we can keep doing what God has told us to do, but our hearts can change. It can be blind bodily obedience. It's like, I'm doing it because the Lord said, but we didn't really feel like doing it. We're not doing it joyfully. We're not doing it cheerfully or from the same place of faith. When I say we, I'm talking about the body of Christ, not y'all, because y'all scholars, y'all on point. So we overcome the opposition through endurance to produce something greater, allowing God to get the greater glory. Because when we hear what God has said, sometimes we interpret it based on our imagination or a frame of reference that we have seen before. But when God is doing something unprecedented, there's no frame of reference. And the only thing you've seen is what he's showing you. And so now you're walking by faith to take the steps as he's showing you, because it's never been done before. And then when it doesn't play out in the timing or the way we think, it's like the enemy would try to make you feel like you miss God. Did God really say? Or if you are so prophetic, why didn't you sense this? You can give everybody a prophetic word, but you couldn't hear this? And see, that's a lot of noise that the enemy would try to bring to your mind and your soul while you're trying to walk out obedience. And while you're trying to stay in a place of faith. But internally, you're battling, did I miss you, Jesus? I know I heard you. And you're smiling and encouraging everybody else, telling them to keep going. And internally, there's a struggle. Somebody say, pray for me. You pray for them and give them a prophetic word. Tell them their cousin's name, their uncle name, and everything else. But then the enemy's trying to make you feel like you missed him. That's why I believe today is a day where we engage in making our own kind of noise. You cannot be silent when contrary noise is coming upon you in an endurance moment. Because what I sensed was that some may have been dealing with a sense of hopelessness that was trying to push them towards depression. But I declare in the name of Jesus right now, you're free. I sensed it that some people were like seeing others celebrate, but on the inside, they're like, what about me, Jesus? Don't forget about me. And it's like they almost like was like, it's like they were sighing, not out of almost a place of despair. And the enemy was trying to push them towards a depression and a deep depression. But there's freedom right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have to raise your hand and say it's you. I know what I sense. You can just receive it. Even if you're online, you don't even have to put an emoji in the chat. You know, if you don't want nobody to know it was you, just receive it. Hallelujah. You're free today. 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 You're free today.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about a progression of revelation. Because we talk about, people used to say, when the praises go up, blessings what? That was their understanding of revelation. They just knew that when I would praise God, something would happen. So people were writing songs about when the praises go up. And the choir would be like, the blessings come down. But then it got progressive. Say progressive. And then we start hearing people teach praise changes the atmosphere. And people would chant it and declare it and tell people, give God a shout of praise. And we'd be like, ah. They'd be like, praise him louder. Ah, keep going. Ah, you can do better than that. Ah. And then your throat start getting all sore. You're like, ah. You laying hands on your own throat so you can keep screaming? But remember I said, is not the song, the notes, or the voice that changes the atmosphere. While there's power in our voices, but there's a thing that has to be contained in the voice to shift the atmosphere. And that thing has to be honor. Because a song or a dance without honor is just entertainment. You can have the smoking lights. Them lights can move and flicker and do all kind of stuff. And it can have the appearance of glory, but not really have any glory in it. Now, I'm not saying nothing about folks with the smoking lights, because I love a good smoking lights in a sanctuary too. But what I'm saying is, if those components are in place for a presentation, but there's no honor, then it's just a presentation. Honor is the thing that allows God to inhabit. No, the scripture says he inhabits the praises of his people, but it's the praises with honor. So when you want habitation and not visitation, there has to be, say, honor. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of honor. Jesus. So remember, praise alone does not shift an atmosphere. It is the focus and substance of the praise which is released that shifts atmospheres. Which means when you honor the Lord through whichever expression you do it, because there's different ways to honor God, you know you shift the atmosphere. That focus is Jesus and the substance is honor. Notice the focus is who? Jesus. When we release honor to Jesus through our varied expressions of praise and worship, that substance of honor attaches to the currency, the spiritual force, and the realm of faith, which causes the supernatural of God to shift your natural. I'll say it again. When we release honor to Jesus through our varied expressions of praise and worship, that substance of honor attaches to the currency, spiritual force, and realm of faith, which causes the supernatural of God to shift the natural. So to partner with God in the supernatural, there has to be what, everybody?
Honor.
Honor. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Because last week we talked about when Jesus said he couldn't do any miracle in his hometown, except he healed a few people because they were too familiar and there was no honor. Because they knew him. They knew him by the flesh, but didn't know him by the Spirit of God. Which is why it's important to make sure you don't look at nobody and judge them based on the flesh or based on how you knew them. Just because you grew up with somebody don't mean you know them. And just because you're in a relationship with somebody, if you don't keep getting to know them, you will not know them. Because we grow in grace. And if I'm growing in grace and you're growing in grace, we have to continuously get to know each other and how we operate in that grace. I tell leaders all the time, when you step into a new leadership position, it's like starting over. People have to get to know how you operate in this new position. It's the same thing. When you step into a new dimension and a new level with God, people have to get to know you again. Because you're operating in a different place. The scripture said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A lot of times we think that's just when we get saved. You know, I'm a new creature. But when does something new become something old? He didn't say, in Christ, you are a new creature, and then you become an old creature. So for you to continuously be a new creature, meaning you are continuously being transformed. But if you still, but if somebody is still the same as they were in 1977 that they are in 2023, somebody didn't allow themselves to be transformed. And they were sitting with Jesus but didn't benefit from being with Jesus. But that ain't y'all, that's somebody else. So in Matthew 15, verse 1, and I'm going to read this from the King James because it reads, it's the language is very specific that I want us to see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. It says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. You know, when I read that, y'all know what I thought of? I had to have a moment. You guys remember when the pandemic started and dude went viral talking about singing, wash your hands? I read that and was like, somebody went viral singing a song saying, wash your hands. So I could just picture them coming to Jesus. They don't wash their hands. And they are not following the traditions of the elders. So Jesus had the ultimate clapback. It says, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Traditions sometimes are good and sometimes are not good when they nullify or hinder the movement of God. Tradition is not just something you see in a denomination or something like that. Traditions can be things we set up in our own hearts because it's how we're used to doing a thing, or how we used to hear God, or how we used to experience God, or what God said to me 6 months ago. If we must continuously stay in the place of hearing him so we don't get locked in even to our own traditions, yes, thinking we have arrived when we're still traveling. So then it says, then he specifically mentioned what they were talking about. He said, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die to death. But ye say, whoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So they put a tradition in place that caused a promise of God to be nullified. Because, you know, the scripture talks about honoring our father and our mother, and our days will be long. It's the first commandment with a promise. So they weren't able to experience the promise of God because they had a tradition. They had their own way of doing things. How many people in the world today have their own way of doing things and are not experiencing the promise of God? And then here's the part I really wanted to get to, but I just wanted to read this part in context. Jesus called them hypocrites. He said, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, now here's the point in verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. He said, they draweth nigh, meaning the ETH is a continual action. They continually come close to God with their mouth. And they give honor with their lips, but their heart is far from him. This is why I said that honor is not in the song itself, it's the posture by which the song is offered up. Honor is not just in what a person says, it's the posture by which they say it. Because he said, people draweth, meaning they keep coming to God with their lips. Honoreth, because ETH is a continual action in King James. So they keep honoring him with their mouth, but the heart's isn't in it. They were close and far away simultaneously. So when God invites us to come closer, it's not just coming closer with our lips. It's not just coming closer with what we say. It's the heart posture of honor so we can have that spirit-to-spirit connection with Jesus. You guys catching it?
Yes.
Glory to God. And then it says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He said, in vain they worship. Meaning that word vain in the Greek refers to manipulation. He said, so he's saying their expression of worship is more manipulative than anything because there is no honor in it. Trying to get God to do something. Well, they say I need to enter your courts for Thanksgiving. So I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Now I need this. And it's another definition for that Greek word vain. Refers to an unsuccessful search. Their worship or expression of it was unsuccessful in touching the heart of God because it had no honor. Regardless if it sounded good, regardless if people were impressed, it didn't touch God. Because there was no honor. It also talks about no purpose or fruitless. Nothing was produced of a God's substance when their worship was expressed without honor. How many people, I just wonder, in the world, because somebody gave them a formula of how to hear from God or of how to get a response from God. They're going through the motions and wondering why it's not working. Well, they told me if I say Jesus, 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 Jesus 100 times, I'll start speaking in tongues. Or they told me I need to decree this thing and they gave me this scripture, but they're saying the words without the honor. So, to tie this into where we are with this patience, we have to keep the posture of honor while being patient. Because that is the test. When our faith is tried, is really trying, are we going to continue to honor God? In that honor is a reflection of trust and confidence. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let's look at an example of someone who was dealing with some stuff. And his first response was to honor God. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'm going to read this from the New King James, specifically because of is going to highlight something that's very important for us. Y'all still tracking with me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. It says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. So David was going off to war, him and his men. And at that time, he was still on the run from Saul. And he was in the land with the Philistines. And because David was loyal, the Philistines were going to war. He was like, we're going to go to war with you. But they sent them back because they said, wait a minute. Isn't this the same dude folks were singing about? Saul slayed his thousand. David slayed his how many ever thousands they were singing? Y'all know it. And so they sent them back. And David's like, well, what'd I do? I'm going to come fight with you. You know, you beefing me. You got beef with somebody. I got beef with somebody. So they sent them back. And so it takes them 3 days to get back. And when they come back, their city was burned. Now, you can imagine the kind of thoughts that was running through everybody's head, especially David's. Like, man, should I have went out with the Philistines? Because if I wouldn't have even went to try to go to war, we would have been here and we would have defended the city. The coulda, shoulda, wouldas. In your life, don't dwell on the coulda, the shoulda, the woulda. That's the enemy's way of getting you distracted. You are where you are at the moment you are, and now is God, how do we move forward? What are you requiring of me in light of what I now know and in light of where I now am?
Yes, sir. That's so right.
Because dwelling in the past and the options we should have taken will get you out of alignment with the option and the revelation that God has given you in this moment. You got to recognize that your steps are ordered by the Lord. And if you take a detour, he knows how to get you back on track. It's just like, you know, your GPS. It'll say rerouting. So I just decree and declare for some of you who feel like you're off track, you're being rerouted. And you will still get to your destination on time. In the name of Jesus. And for some of you, you're going to get there before you anticipated. What you thought was a delay was actually an acceleration. Yes, God. Yes, God. So it says they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them all away and went their way. That was the grace of God. Because they could have killed some of them, the ones they didn't like, and took the ones they liked. Because that's what they used to do back then. But they didn't kill anybody. I know I've been in some situations where it could have been a whole lot worse. But by the grace of God, and I mean the grace, not just the grace of God, but the grace of God. Because I remember when I was in high school, I was at a house party because I had this reputation for gangster rapping at the time. And so somebody paid me, it was my first paid gig, to come rap at a house party. Now, I should have known something was up because it was on a street called Elm Street. I'm like, Jesus, why didn't I know you back then? So I go onto Elm Street, I'm in this house party rapping, not knowing that two rival gangs were there and were going to, about to fight. And one particular gang thought I was with the other ones because I knew everybody, so I was just speaking. I'm like, hey, what up? So these dudes, all I know is I'm standing there with some people I knew. Next thing I know, this rival gang keep coming in. And it was like they kept calling people, walking in. I mean, it was like they were marching, like they practiced that thing. They were like, walking in. They were like all in step, walking in. All of them had weapons. And I'm not talking about knives and stuff. This is the day of the drive-by. So them dudes had guns and everything else. And one of the leaders, so nothing happened that night by the grace of God. The next day, I leave the high school early to go to the junior high school to tutor some kids in band. Because, I was doing music all through junior high and high school. So I'm tutoring this kid. My first instrument was the trumpet. So I'm tutoring this kid on the trumpet. I see the bus driver who normally would take me home. So I say, hey, can I ride with you as you drop off the junior high kids until you get to my stop, and then I'll just go home? He says, sure. Guess what bus I was on? The bus going to the projects where that rival gang was. And guess who was getting on there? Them rival gang members. So I'm sitting there, and they just piling on. And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, these dudes look familiar. And they on there, and then one of them, so I call myself being slick, being in junior high school. I mean, I was in high school, so I'm sitting next to a girl. I call myself being slick, sitting next to a girl. Because I know this girl ain't gonna grab me or choke me or nothing. She was too busy trying to get my number. So I'm like, you know. So she's talking to me. And next thing I know, apparently, this dude recognized me and was talking noise about what he was going to do. He was like, when we get to this stop, it's over. And he started saying all kinds of stuff I can't even repeat. So, you know, he's using choice four-letter words. And I'm sitting there, and finally I'm like, wait a minute, he talking to me. Because at first I'm like, who is this dude talking to? And then somebody gets up and is like, when you get off the bus, it's going to be like, pow. And he put his fist like he was going to hit me, but stopped like an inch from my face. And when I looked at him, by the grace of God, I didn't flinch. And that kind of spooked him because he was like, wait a minute. And everybody was like, ooh. So they get off the bus and they're like, come on, get off the bus. And I'm like, so then I had some friends that I knew. They were like, we got your back. And I'm like, if I get off this bus, these dudes gonna jump me. Even though I got two friends on there, but I'm like, it's about 10 to 15 of these dudes. I can take a couple. My friends could take a couple. I don't know if we can take all 15. So I didn't get off the bus. I used wisdom. Next thing I know, this guy apparently was looking for me, saw me at another party walking with a shotgun. But by the grace of God, he was so high, I'm just be blunt, he ain't recognize me. And he went on about his business. And he never tried to pursue me after that again. Grace of God. That thing could have been all kind of ways. And then after that, the side of town I lived on started beefing with them, so it was just a whole big thing. But I was like, man, Jesus, I could have not been here today trying to gangster rap at a party on a city called Elm Street with some dudes with shotguns thinking I'm with some rival gangs. Because I was in the wrong place at the wrong time thinking I was doing the right thing. I was just trying to get paid for rapping. So we see the grace. And then it says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were all taken captive. David and the people that were with him lifted their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken. Now, I believe the scripture highlights that because he was personally experiencing the same thing everybody else was. But here's the thing. And then it says, verse 6, he was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, on top of experiencing the same thing as everybody else, the same type of tragedy, now the people who were with him, who they would fight together, whose lives depended on each other, now they wanted to kill him. See, that's the thing. When you are walking out purpose and destiny, you have to be prepared, especially when God calls you to leadership. You got to be prepared to be blamed for stuff that's beyond your control. Everybody wants to be in charge, but are you ready to lead? And I'm not talking about an influencer. A couple of weeks ago, I said this to a group. I told them that influencers are not necessarily leaders because they are followers influencing other followers. A leader is different. A leader is moving people or influencing them to fulfill the purposes of God. So you may be thinking, I don't have a title. You don't need one. Because when God puts you on assignment in a place, it's to influence them to move toward and walk out the purposes of God. But you have to do it from a place of honor, because you're going to get tested to curse God, or to, and in modern vernacular, would be to shrink and small up and not live out a place of honor towards God and other people. So now they wanted to kill David, as well as the stuff he was already dealing with. And it says, because the soul of all the people were grieved. Notice it said their soul, the multi-layers of their mind, will, and emotions, the thing that connects their spirit man to their body, was grieved. The soul was grieved. And their flesh was already weak because they had no power, any more power to weep because they wept so much. So they got weak flesh, a grieved soul. And their response is to, I'm going to kill David. This dude had me out here. I should have been at home. Ain't no telling what they doing with my wife. I'm just saying, you know the images that were coming to their mind. They probably beating them, slapping my kids around, making them slaves. David had to battle those same thoughts on top of folks wanting to kill him. On top of knowing Saul wanted to kill him. And it says this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It says David did what? Encouraged himself. David did what? Sometimes you're going to have to encourage yourself. Sometimes there's nobody you can call. Sometimes it ain't worth calling anybody to say, you know what, I'm dealing with the thing. I know there are people who love you and will pray with you, but in some moments, it ain't them that's going to help you. You're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. In an endurance moment, and the enemy tries to make you feel impatient, you have to encourage yourself. Somebody say, encourage yourself. I'm telling you, I'm trying to get you to this place of excitement to encourage yourself, because the enemy been trying to beat you down and make you feel like what you're believing for isn't going to happen. But you got to encourage yourself. because your success is inevitable. God told me that at the beginning of this year, that our success is inevitable. It's bound to happen. And when you get a word like that, it seems like your stuff is on pause. But it may appear to be on pause, but something is moving in the realm of the spirit, so I have to encourage myself. Encourage yourself. Now notice the order. I'm done in like 2 minutes. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That word encourage, refers to being fortified. He fortified himself. It also means to fasten upon. He fastened himself to God. In the middle of all that mess, he fastened himself. He fortified himself. It also means to encourage, like we know, but it means to strengthen. That's why I like the new American Standard would say strengthen. It also means to maintain. He maintained his posture with God. He maintained honoring God. Regardless of what was going on, God is still good. The goodness of God is not conditional upon earthly circumstances. It's not conditional on if I feel blessed or not. It's not conditional based on things going my way. And notice the order. He encouraged himself, or he fastened. Another word is bind. We know bind can mean forbid, but bind also means attach. He attached himself to God. He was like, this is happening. And then notice the order, verse 8. It says, and David inquired of the Lord. Notice he encouraged before he inquired. How many people inquire before they encourage themselves? They're seeking God, seeking revelation, asking wisdom, because that's what the Bible says. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. But David was specific and intentional. He encouraged himself. He attached himself. He kept the posture of honor, and then he inquired. And as soon as he inquired, he says, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? It says, and he answered. Who is that he? God. So he immediately heard an answer in that moment. Some delays in hearing is because we have not encouraged, or some have not encouraged themselves. So the hearing takes a little longer to really understand what God has said because they haven't encouraged themselves. Because in hearing a word is filtering through the noise, the internal noise of the soul. You have to encourage yourself and clear out the internal noise of the soul so when God speaks, you hear him super clear. And then God said this, because we always quote, pursue, you shall recover all. But I love what he really said. That's a good thing to quote, but look at what he said. He said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. In your pursuit, there's some surely overtaking. You're going to surely overtake, and without fail, without missing it, you're going to recover it. Everything. Somebody say everything. Now, all of this happened because of his posture to honor God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. Glory to God. 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 Let me give you something to go home with real quick. Something to go home with, because you're like, okay, how do I keep this posture of honor? Because remember, 2 weeks ago, I was like, I wish I gave you a formula, but you can't formulate that. You just have to kind of just do it. But let me give you something. Psalms 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. And I'm going to read this from the King James. It says this. Why art thou? And this is the scripture God gave me when he showed me what happened this morning. I saw that in a vision. I didn't know when it would happen. I didn't know how it would happen. I wasn't going to try to manufacture it, but I saw it. And this was the scripture God gave me. Psalm 42, verse 5. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You have to speak to your soul and tell him you will hope in God. Speak to your soul. That's how you keep the posture of honor. And then he says it again in verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. And then notice the change. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. First he said, I will praise him for the help of his countenance. And then he said, he's the help of my countenance. So you got to speak to your soul. Not only do you speak to a situation, but you got to speak to your soul and how you're going to respond to that situation. Amen. Speak to your soul. Command your soul to hope in God. You will not be disquieted. You will not be hopeless. You will not do it. You better hope in God. You better speak to your soul like it ain't even a part of you, like you speaking to somebody who getting corrected. I did not tell you. You better hope in God. And you know how some of them young parents, they clap when they say it, when they really mean it. You better hope in God. You better hope in God. Hope in God. Speak to your soul. When you feel the enemy trying to come upon you, you got to do what? Speak to your soul. When things feel heavy on your life, you got to do what? Speak to your soul. Speak. That's what David did. He spoke to his soul and then he inquired. Speak to your soul. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.